home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Burns and Gambo. Presented by Ramos Law Firm at ramoslaw.com.
If you were watching the game yesterday on Fox 10, I hope you hung around long enough to hear the very brief studio conversation about the Arizona Cardinals when that game was done.
I was so close to changing it, and then I stayed, and because they went right to the Cardinals. They literally went right to them. It wasn't like they started talking about other games. So, yeah.
No, well, they had like 30 seconds to kill because they were going to go to the Steelers-Seahawks game, but they were in the two-minute warning. So, Kurt Menefee said, they're in the two-minute warning, let's have a quick conversation about what we saw from the Cardinals. Terry Bradshaw started, and he just started glowing about the Kyler Murray bandwagon.
I got to tell you, he's amazing. I've done everything I can to convince myself that this doesn't work, but after two games, look, I'm on the bandwagon. You got to. Why are you crazy if you don't?
Yeah. Needs help.
He's great. Well, he needs a lot of things, but one of the things you're finding out, and Kyler will be the first to tell you this, for a quarterback to throw touchdowns, it is very hard to do in the NFL starting out as a rookie. In time, he will, but boy, you're talking about fun to watch. Tons of fun.
That's Howie Long with the, there you go, kind of egging him on, and then says eventually he needs help. Now, keep in mind, this was, again, in the immediate aftermath of the game.
A loss.
The conversation didn't center on Lamar Jackson. The conversation didn't center on the 2-0 Ravens. The conversation didn't center on how great offensively they've looked this year, the numbers they've put up. It was a conversation in the immediate moment about Kyler Murray and what the Cardinals did in a loss, not Lamar Jackson and what the Ravens did in a win.
And there's a reason for that. Everybody thought they were going to go get their asses handed to them on the road against the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. There was nobody picking the Cardinals to win. The Ravens were the second biggest favorite of the entire week outside of the Patriots.
Yeah.
The second biggest favorite. And the Cardinals had a chance to win that game at the end. And Murray played well. And he threw for over 300 yards. You can't ignore it. Can't ignore the fact that the kid's doing some good things. Now, Bradshaw's right. The touchdowns are hard. You got to learn how to do that. These, you know, that'll come. But he said that will come. He knows. Terry Bradshaw's a four-time Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Yes, indeed.
He knows what it's like. So the fact that they're giving Murray some credit, good, because there are a lot of Murray haters out there, and there are a lot of Cliff haters out there. So it's good to see him get a little bit of love right there.
Kurt Warner giving some love out today as well. He's been to a couple of Super Bowls. He was on with Doug and Wolf today.
The reason that they're having success on offense is because of that young man. He is making some throws and some plays that aren't really there in a lot of situations. That's really keeping this offense afloat. Been a lot of struggles. I think they're trying to find their way, trying to create some things that haven't been open oftentimes. Obviously, the struggles in the red zone, I think, is a big indication of that, is that trying to find their way in the red zone. But the reason that they're, they got back into the game a week ago and stayed in that game yesterday was a lot because the young man is just making some crazy throws.
By now, I would imagine most people have heard the stat. He becomes the second quarterback
to Cam Newton,
other than Cam Newton, to open up a career with back-to-back 300-plus yard games. The only one to do it. Now, he also,
I think by next week, he should have more yards total than Rosen had in all 13 games.
I think you might be over-exaggerating that a little bit.
Are you sure?
I have to go back and project with the numbers, but I...
All right, maybe by week four, he'll have more
numbers. I think you might be off a little bit. But
you sure?
Yeah, pretty sure. Pretty sure. Now, he also leads the NFL in pass attempts. He's thrown more passes than any quarterback in the National Football
League. Yeah, did you see their run-pass ratio?
So there's that. Well, I did see it. Yeah. Funny that you brought that up. Against the Detroit Lions, 54 passes, 23 runs. Against the Baltimore Ravens, 40 passes, 11 runs. That's 94 passes to 34 runs so far this year.
What is that? 40 passes and 11 runs in this game?
40 passes and 11 runs.
Man.
So is that that's roughly, if my very crude math is correct, that's basically one out of every four plays is a run, and three out of every four is roughly a pass so far for the Arizona Cardinals. Now, he's doing this Without much of a run game from David Johnson, 7 carries, 14 yards. The Cardinals had 20 for the game on 11 carries. And Kyler, curiously, isn't running the ball that much. He had 3 carries for 4 yards yesterday.
I hope he learned something from watching Lamar. Because Lamar improvised quite a bit on all those runs. Most of those runs were improvised. Maybe he looks at that and he's like, I could do that. Because he can. He's very capable of doing the same thing. Very capable of doing the same thing.
Do we want him doing the same thing?
Sure. Of course. You see what? Of course. Yeah. I need him. We need. Is it,
wouldn't you rather
Cardinal
him,
fans, you need him running. You need him running.
But wouldn't you rather him hone this part of his game first? As opposed to Lamar Jackson, who kind of honed that part of his game first, the run part of his game, and the passing came second.
I don't know.
I think I'd almost rather Kyler Murray work on being really good at this and then add his element of speed and rushing.
I don't know why you can't do the two of them together. I mean, why can't you do both together? I mean, listen, when if a play's broken down and he can go get a first down, it's going to extend a drive and it's going to keep a drive going. And
keeps
maybe
him
gives
healthier,
him more chances.
Keeps
to,
him more upright. Keeps it's better for his long-term success if he is more of a passer than a runner, just from a health standpoint.
Well, he got hit 9 times yesterday.
Oh, I know he did.
He's been sacked 8 times in 2 games. He's on pace to be sacked 64 times this year. Maybe running can get him away from some of those hits and sacks.
Oh, yeah. Look, I'm not opposed to him running this. I'm just saying that if Kyler Murray's going to be defined by one more than the other, I'd rather him be defined by being a passer more than a runner.
Don't disagree at all. But we were all expecting that there was going to be a few plays each game where he takes off and he burns the defense.
Yes.
Now, if you want to listen, it's a chicken and egg thing. Like one, they both have to come, right? The egg has to come, the chicken has to. The running has to come for Murray because it will open up more in the passing game. If Murray's a threat to run, maybe it opens up more in the red zone. Maybe it opens up more in the goal line.
Maybe.
Look at Jaden Daniels for ASU. I mean, that run on 4th and 13. For 16 yards. If Murray's more of a threat to run, then maybe defenses have to focus on that a little bit more, and then maybe it opens up the passing game, the tight end, or something where you can get some touchdowns instead of settling for field goals.
On the fact that he matched Cam Newton for the going over 300 yards in his first 2 games as a pro, Kyler Murray was like, that's cool.
That's a cool deal. But again, you know, wish we could have won the game.
Yeah. And
plays them next week, right?
They do. They do. And the Cardinals are actually underdogs at home, the early line. They're 2.5-point dogs at home. They're going to win on Sunday.
I think so, too.
That's their first one of the year. They're going to win on Sunday.
I think so. Well, Cam's pissed at how bad he's played.
I don't know if Cam right now is capable of playing better, to be honest with you. There's something. He's between the shoulder and the foot, he's searching right now. And yes, they've got a little extra rest coming into this game. I think the Cardinals get their first win of the season at home against the Carolina Panthers on Sunday.
Tell you, I might be disappointed if they don't get the win next week, because I think they're going to win too.
Yeah. Basketball season is approaching. NBA 2K20 is here. Arizona Sports giving you the chance to win a copy of NBA 2K20 for PlayStation or Xbox. Head to the rewards page at arizonasports.com to enter. He was one of the best players on the field for his Cardinals debut, but yesterday in his return to Baltimore, Terrell Suggs did not live up to the hype. We'll talk about that coming up here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Good to sleep, you know what I mean? It was good to be back. Kind of good to play in a stadium that you know, I played in for the majority of my career. You know, it was weird. That was definitely the most weirdest thing I've ever been a part of. It's unfortunate. I wanted to win, but, you know, it was good to be back.
Terrell Suggs, after the game, his return to Baltimore, the place that he called home for his 16 NFL seasons. Now as a member of the Arizona Cardinals, he seemed kind of put out by it all, you know. I mean, just sort of, I think he wanted a better showing. I think he was hoping for something better, but it didn't happen. And to be perfectly honest with you, if not for all the hype going into the game about Suggs and then coming out of the game with him addressing the fact that he played at Baltimore, you would have hardly known he was out there. He didn't impact the game
Not hardly at all.
Chandler Jones didn't impact the game hardly at all.
Didn't hear Dave Pasch call either of their names.
There were two. The two combined for five tackles, no quarterback hits.
And yet without those guys, and you would have thought, okay, for them to have any chance to be in this game, Chandler Jones and Terrell Suggs are going to have to get pressure on Lamar Jackson, contain him, sack him, get some hits. They did nothing. Nope. Neither one of those guys had an impact on the game. And yet the defense played pretty well. The defense did a pretty good job, especially in the second half. In the second half, they held Baltimore to 6 points total to allow the offense to get some points and get in the game. So you would have thought those two guys had to have an impact. They didn't have an impact. Yet the defense still, I thought it was an improvement by the defense for Vance Joseph. Thought the game plan was well. Some guys made some big plays.
It was a real mixed bag defensively. I mean, I could sit here and make a compelling case for why it was not a great game. When you look at all the big plays that Baltimore had in that game, I think in the first half alone, they had 11 plays of 10 yards or greater.
Andrews and Hollywood Brown were killing them. Those two guys, the tight end was killing them.
Yeah, they had one possession alone where I think they had three plays of 18 yards or more. I mean, at times there were series where it was just big play after big play after big play after big play. But then there were other moments where I thought the defense acquitted themselves very, very well. Especially with no Chandler Jones and Terrell Suggs impacting that game.
Stopping Ingram.
I mean, the running game was out of control for Baltimore, but that's because Lamar Jackson was out of control.
Yeah, their running backs weren't out of control.
They were contained. Their running backs were under 4 yards per carry.
Yes.
In that game. So they were mostly under control. Only two field goals in the second half out of Baltimore offensively.
Does that guy ever miss a field goal, by the way?
Justin Tucker,
has he ever missed a field goal in his life? One of the best kickers, too.
My God. Oh, he's fantastic.
Was everything right down the middle? Like, literally just right there? Can he miss? Can he be a little off to the right or left and it still goes through?
Yeah. He's at the center of all of this is the very basic, real concept that Lamar Jackson is one tough dude to defend. There's a reason Chandler Jones and Terrell Suggs didn't have much of an impact. He's hard to bring down. He's slippery. He's any kind of a fake to Ingram, man, it just felt like the Cardinals were crashing and biting on every single one, and Lamar Jackson would just scoot out to the left or scoot out to the right and get 11 yards just like that. I mean, without even having to think much about it. Now, he would, 170 yards rushing in that game?
Lamar had 120.
120, I'm sorry. I think they had 170 for the game, or around 170 for the game. I got the two numbers mixed up. Lamar Jackson's evolution as an NFL player is one of the most unlikely stories in this league. It's got to be. From what he was a year ago to what he's done so far this year, that is one of the most unlikely evolutions of an NFL player we've seen over the last 2 years.
I'm telling you, it's reminiscent in some ways, although it's way, way, way too early. But he's 8-1 as a starter, and his only loss is to the Kansas City Chiefs in overtime, in a regular season, 8-1 as a starter. 1983 draft was very famous for guys like Jim Kelly and
Dan Marino,
Kenny O'Brien, Steve Blackledge, Tony Eason, John Elway. I'm going to go Vince Marotta on you. But Marino ended up being one of the best, and he was the last guy chosen out of the quarterbacks. He was chosen like 27th or 28th in the draft. He was one of the last guys chosen. And he ended up being one of the best. He was better than Blackledge. He was better than Eason. He was better than O'Brien. Comparable to Kelly. Probably the best was Elway because he won two Super Bowls. But Marino was fantastic. He made it to a Super Bowl. He never won one, but he did make it to one. And I think maybe Lamar Jackson, when all is said and done, I'm sure he's trying to make an argument that he's going to be the best out of that class last year. Darnold, Rosen, Mayfield, Allen. Right now, Lamar Jackson is in the conversation as to who could be the best quarterback in that class.
I saw this stat. I took a screenshot off it off of Twitter. The Baltimore Ravens have totaled 1,083 yards of offense through the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. That is the third most in the history of the NFL. And the other two teams that are ahead of them both went on to make the Super Bowl.
Ooh. Well,
that's the pace they're off to. Now, I'm not saying they're going to the Super Bowl, but, I mean, first of all, look at their division. Look at their division. Steelers are already 0-2. Big Ben's out for the year. Cincinnati's garbage. They're not going to amount to much anyway.
By the way, that's your hope right there, the Cincinnati Bengals.
My hope for what?
For me not winning that Miami Dolphins bet against you.
No.
Because the Miami Dolphins look like trash.
I've got 14 games for them to back into one. I'm really not that worried about it.
2 weeks ago, you had 16 games.
I'd make that bet again right now. I'd make it right now.
Jordan, would you make that bet right now?
They're going to win a game.
Would you make that bet right now?
I still think they will win eventually one game. I do.
Going to win a game.
But I'm tending to lean a little bit more towards Gambo after their first 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, they've been outscored by, what, 92 points? So far, the first 2 weeks of the season?
It's the worst start by any NFL team in the first two games in the history of the National Football League.
It's been hideous. So,
100 years of the NFL, nobody's ever started that bad.
But depending on what, and the Browns-Jets game, it's just underway, about 10 and a half minutes to go in the first quarter here. Depending on what happens here, I mean, the Ravens could be in a position where they're not run away with it. I think the Browns are a good football team. But no Pittsburgh, no Big Ben for Pittsburgh, no Cincinnati. Baltimore's in a great position now with the start that they're off to, and Lamar Jackson, again, his ability to throw is you just don't expect him to be able to do it with that level of skill.
Just crazy question. Let me just hit you up with this. So the Patriots look like juggernauts right now, right?
Yes.
Through two games?
Yes.
Which quarterback would give the Patriots more trouble, Mahomes or Jackson? Oh, look at both of you guys thinking. Look at both you guys. You both got your hand on your chin. You get together. Both you guys have your hand on your chin. Then you both went to your head. Which would give the Patriots more trouble in a playoff game?
Jackson.
Mahomes or Jackson?
Jackson.
Yeah, I think Mahomes.
Oh, this is a great question. That's a great question.
What do you think?
How the hell do I know?
Answer your own question.
I would tend to think Jackson. Because of that ability to run.
Yeah,
because
of 120 yards rushing. Like he did to the...
Just because, like, it's just an extra element that you've got to prepare for that. Like, if you said, who do you want on your team right now, Mahomes or Jackson? I'm not thinking twice about it. I'm taking Mahomes.
Of course.
I'm not even thinking twice about it. But now I'm asking which guy would give Belichick in that Patriots defense more of a problem in a one-game scenario where now you got to worry about the fact that this guy can run 15 times for 120 yards and burn you on all these big third downs and keep drives alive. Could that be a concern? And Baltimore's defense obviously is better than Kansas City's defense.
But that is what I mean by the evolution of Lamar Jackson. If he's going to drop dimes like he dropped yesterday on 3rd and 11 for 41 yards to basically end the game for Baltimore, if he's going to throw passes like that, I don't know if there's any way to stop Lamar Jackson on a football field. If he's going to throw passes with that degree of accuracy, with that degree of difficulty, and be able to rush for 120 yards per game, I don't know if there's a way to stop Lamar Jackson. I really don't. Especially if he's got guys like Mark Andrews and Marquise Brown to be able to throw to.
The other tight end caught a pass for a touchdown, right?
Yeah.
That's how obscure the guy didn't get. Hurst? What was his name?
Hayden Hurst?
Yeah,
Hurst? That was Hayden Hurst.
I mean, that guy scored a touchdown in a game, so he was moving it around just a little bit, but Hollywood Brown gives them such an unbelievable option.
They are just one of four undefeated teams left in the conference. They are going to have the most prestigious non-conference win out of the bunch. Is ASU football the Pac-12 conference's best hope this season? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Arizona State and Michigan State freshman quarterback Jaden Daniels has good days ahead. This will not be one of them. It's going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day against Kenny Willekes and that Michigan State defense. Willekes already has 3.5 sacks. The rush defense is not allowed. They've allowed one run longer than 8 yards. They are going to dominate this game against Arizona State.
Hey, really? Michigan
State's going to blow them out.
Oops.
Listen, fault those guys.
That's fine. It's Reese Davis on College Game Day, which pound for pound is one of the best sports shows on television.
Did you think that ASU could win that game?
I did not think ASU was going to win that game.
Neither did I.
Somebody tweeted out, Reese Davis was so hard on him. I said, I thought the same thing. I didn't think ASU had much of a chance in that game. Right. I was worried they were. I remember doing the show on Friday. I was legit worried about ASU in this game. Like, man, I think it's going to be bad. I think it's going to be really, really bad. So he had an opinion and it was wrong.
Was this a revenge?
It happens.
Yeah, listen, was this a revenge game for Michigan State? Yeah, it didn't line up like it. We talked about, I would love to get one of the two. Could we get one win out of the two games
between
the Cardinals and ASU? And you got it out of Arizona State. Hell of a game by Arizona State. Couldn't be more impressed with their ability to go on the road, hostile environment, Power 5 school out of the Big Ten, and go come away with a win. However it happened, they came away with a win. Defense was fantastic. Danny Gonzalez is a stud. That defense made so many big plays. But Jaden Daniels, man, kid grew up fast on that final drive, didn't he?
Sure did, yeah. And that's, again, borrowing the line from Doug Haller, who covers ASU and has covered ASU for a long time with The Athletic. He said that might be the moment when Jaden Daniels became Jaden Daniels. When a couple years from now we look back and say, when did it all start for Jaden Daniels? That drive against Michigan State with a couple minutes left in the game and the 4th and 13 and the conversion and all that stuff. It's the question that you asked about ASU earlier in the show, and it actually started during pre-show prep when we had a lively, spirited debate here in the studios off the air.
Go ahead.
With this question. No, it's yours. I want you to own this question because your question.
I'll own it.
Please ask it again.
Well, I put up the pitchfork sign, too. I'll own it.
Okay.
ASU has the best chance out of anybody in the Pac-12 right now after three games of representing the Pac-12 in a playoff. Right now. Right now they do. There's no team in the conference that has a better chance of representing the Pac-12 because Utah doesn't play anybody non-conference and neither does Washington State. Utah plays nobody. They have no Power 5 schools that they play and neither do Washington State. Okay? They play cupcakes.
Utah had BYU, Northern Illinois, and Idaho State.
Yeah, not going to get it.
Washington State had New Mexico State, Northern Colorado, and Houston.
Okay, so stop. ASU went on the road and won against Michigan State.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying, listen, I'm not saying that ASU's going to the college football playoffs. I'm saying that right now they're the best hope for the Pac-12 because they have the big win that nobody else has. They have the Power 5 win on the road against a good team from the Big Ten. That holds some credit. That holds a little bit of credit right there. So I'm just saying that they're in the best. I'm not saying they're going to. I expect that they're going to lose a couple games. But right now, through three games, they have the best shot because they have the best win.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I think, well, it's trying to goad me into an argument here.
No, I know people are going to think I'm nuts.
I think just, not that you're nuts necessarily. Here's what I think is nuts about your theory. Okay. I think when it's all said and done, ASU is going to end up losing three conference games. And that at some point, this is going to become a very moot conversation about whether they have the best chance of representing. And to me, Utah has a better chance of being 12-0 and putting their 12-0 record up against some other team from some other conference to get one of those four spots than ASU does. I don't think ASU is getting through the conference part of their schedule without at least two losses, probably closer to three. And
maybe,
so for me,
I could see that.
For me, there's a better chance of, even with their weak non-conference schedule, the best chance the Pac-12 has of getting a team in the Final Four is a team like Utah being able to run the table and saying, we're 12-0 from a Power 5 conference. Bang, how do you like me now?
And now I'm not committed. I get in there. Who'd Utah play? Nobody.
Well, I agree. But again, if we're comparing the odds of Utah goes 12-0 versus ASU goes 12-0, I just don't think ASU's going 12-0. I don't think ASU's going 11-1.
I don't think Utah's going 12-0 either.
Well, I just think there's a better chance of Utah going 12-0 than there is of ASU. That's what this comes down to. That's the crux of your conversation. I think Utah has a better chance of going 12-0 than ASU does, which is why I wouldn't...
At USC, they'll probably win. USC stinks. Home against Washington State, good that they get that game at home. At Oregon State, they'll win. Home against Arizona State. So they get Washington State and Arizona State at home. They get Cal at home. Then they're on the road at Washington. Then they play home against UCLA. They stink. Chip Kelly's terrible right now. Then they're on the road at Arizona. Might be a tough game for them. Arizona seems to have gotten their mojo back with that win over Texas Tech, which got me a free lunch, by the way.
I think I'm going to bring you lunch tomorrow.
Yes, yeah, baby.
Hawaiian barbecue, okay?
Oh, let's do it.
The Hawaiian barbecue joint by my house.
Let's do it.
All right.
I'll bring you some
Hawaiian barbecue.
And then they're home against Colorado. I could see them running the tables. But then I'm in the committee and I'm saying, who'd they play? Idaho State. Yeti. Yeah. Northern Illinois.
That's not what I'm saying.
BYU.
That's not what I'm saying.
I think a 12-0 Utah team doesn't get in over one-loss teams from the SEC. That's what I'm saying.
But that's not the conversation we're having. The conversation we're having and the theory that you posted was, I think ASU is the best hope for the conference to get a team in the Final Four. I disagree. I think Utah going 12-0 is the best chance for the Pac-12 to get a team in the Final Four, because I don't think ASU is going to get to the end of this rodeo 12-0. I just don't. I just think with a they've got a true freshman at left tackle. they've got a true freshman at quarterback. I don't think they're going to be able to get out of conference play with zero losses.
You're probably right. I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with it.
But I will give you this. When it comes to non-conference wins, okay, unless Stanford or USC beat Notre Dame, nobody in this conference is going to have a better non-conference win than ASU.
Right.
Nobody. But that's not the only part of the equation towards who gets to go. It's an important part, but it's not the only part.
I just think that Utah not playing anybody non-conference is going to come back to bite them right in the ass if they get to 12-0.
Very well could.
Because that committee might look at it and say, you know what? I'll take two teams out of the SEC. I'll take Clemson, and I'll take the Big Ten winner. And Utah, sorry. Hey, why didn't we get in? You played Northern Illinois, Idaho State, and BYU. Go away.
Yeah, ASU.
Call me when you play somebody.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm a little worried about this Colorado game coming up on Saturday. I mean, ASU last year. Remember last year?
Chenault's going to be a problem for them. Chenault's going to be an issue.
Big moments followed by kind of duds. And that was sort of the up and down nature of ASU last year, the last few years. So I'm a little worried about this Colorado game.
Chenault torched him last year. He's a handful.
Yeah. Tomorrow is Ticket Window Tuesday. It is presented by Arizona Central Credit Union, giving you the chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Cardinals take on Carolina at State Farm Stadium this Sunday. Listen tomorrow, 7:15, 10:15, 12:15, and 4:15 for your chance to win tickets. He's supposed to be one of the most versatile running backs in the entire NFL. Where's David Johnson? That's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Quite sure we'll end up talking about this a little bit more tomorrow, because we've been so Cardinal heavy today, looking back on the game with the Ravens and, of course, ASU's win over ranked Michigan State on the road. Jalen Ramsey, the very talented cornerback from the Jacksonville Jaguars, apparently has requested a trade.
Yeah, he got into a little scuffle with Doug Marrone, right?
Mm-hmm. And
now he wants out.
People have been asking you on the old Twitter.
So many people.
Cardinals might be interested in some sort of a swap to get Jalen Ramsey here, which doesn't, I don't know, it seems unlikely for a bunch of different reasons, but we'll talk more about that tomorrow, but what are your initial thoughts?
Listen, the Jaguars would not do a straight up Patrick Peterson for Jalen Ramsey trade. Jalen Ramsey 6 years younger. They wouldn't do it. I mean, if you contacted them, you would, you have to at least contact them and see what would it take to get him. I mean, Jalen Ramsey is a really great football player. But they're going to want a lot for him. I mean, they're going to want multiple first-round picks for him.
Yeah.
Multiple first-round picks. And I don't know that you could do that. I don't know that you can. It's going to take a lot to get him. I would say no.
His contract situation is almost exactly identical to Patrick Peterson's in that they're both free agents in a season and a half from now. This season and next. And then Jalen Ramsey is a free agent. David Johnson, 7 attempts, 14 yards. The longest run David Johnson had all day Sunday against the Ravens was 4. He was targeted one time in the passing game. He had one catch for 0 yards. Statistically, he had a very good game in week 1 against the Lions.
Yeah, 137 all-purpose.
But I will say it. I said it before. I'll say it again. I wasn't happy to see him get injured. Do not misinterpret me when I say that. But I was curious, very curious, to see if that offense was going to function better with Chase Edmonds in there instead of David Johnson.
I was thinking the same thing. Because I like Chase Edmonds. I think he's a very talented running back. this David Johnson thing is going to be fascinating because they paid him a lot of money. He's under contract this year, next year. I mean, we thought last week maybe he got back, but I was telling you during training camp and preseason games, just doesn't look right. He's not hitting the holes right to me. Even on the limited runs he had, it just seems to step slow. And then yesterday, I mean, all of those runs, 2 yards, 2 yards, 2 yards. I mean, it was.
He looks slow.
He just doesn't. He's not. He just looks, doesn't look like a dynamic running back. And I told you, I wouldn't have taken him in my fantasy football league. I would not have taken him in my fantasy football league.
Yeah.
I know he got Jordan 6 points yesterday with a touchdown, right, Jordan? I mean, he got you 6 points with that touchdown.
Very much so.
But that's all he got. What did he get you? What did he get you? 8 points?
No, it was like four, even with the touchdown.
He got you 4 points.
Yeah, it was not good.
You should have taken my advice. I would never have taken David Johnson.
I still beat Dave Burns yesterday.
We played.
Oh, really?
Oh, my. I'm in four leagues. I'm going to be 1-7 after 2 weeks. God. Oh, it's been terrible. I've been off to such a terrible, terrible start.
Here's the sad part. Like, you guys have me at your disposal to ask for advice.
Jeez.
The fantasy football champion, defending champion, and you, none of you guys even called me to ask me.
I'm 2-0 in all of my leagues. I'm doing just fine.
Right, oh, cheese and rice. I tell you what.
I mean, I was there. I was ready for the call.
You're right. I should have called you. I absolutely should have called you so you could bail me out as I roll my eyes into the back of its skull. Look, we all know what the fear is with David Johnson.
Fear is that he's an average back making a lot of money who's no longer capable of 1,000 yards rushing.
It's the money part that scares me the most. He got paid. He got paid. And I got paid last year, too. But he got paid. He got his money. And I hope that he's not one of those guys. Because, man, professional sports is filled with those guys. Guys who work so hard and they grind and they get to that payday, and when they get it, now they don't want to get hurt. Or now they've arrived so they don't dial it up to 10 every single time they play. I'm not saying he is that guy, but we talked about this during the preseason when you had concerns about David Johnson, and I was being the calm one. I said, it's preseason. Let's see what happens in the regular season. And this time a week ago, we were raving about David Johnson and his 137 yards and how good he looked. Yesterday, he just looked disinterested, and the Cardinals, they didn't give him a whole lot of chances, and he left the game with that wrist injury. But we need to continue watching this, because at some point, it might benefit them to give Chase Edmonds more of those carries to see if he can do in this offense what David Johnson was unable to do yesterday. I understand he didn't get a lot of looks. He didn't get a lot of touches. He didn't get a lot of chances.
With the touches that he had,
but the ones he got, he didn't do enough to warrant more. He didn't do enough to make me want to give him the ball more, unless they were in goal line situations. You know,
I think you got it. Listen, maybe if they come out and they get off to better starts, they've had two really bad starts, get behind early. Maybe if they get off to a better start, they can establish the run a little bit more, make it a lot easier for Kyler Murray if they know they're not going to throw the ball. Was it 40 passes to 11 rushes in this game?
Yeah, 40 to 11.
I mean, a lot easier if there's a little more balance, might help Kyler Murray a little bit more. If there's more balance to the offense, so maybe try to get him established early in this football game and get him going.
Yeah, I admit it's a little hypocritical to want more of David Johnson in the red zone and yet wonder about his effectiveness as a running back and whether he can still be that guy. But yesterday was the first moment where, for vocal critics like you and Dan Bickley and Doug Franz, who have watched David Johnson this preseason and kind of wondered, where did it go? Where is old number 31? Not this version of him. Yesterday was the first day where I looked at it and I thought, I wonder if Gambo and Dan and Doug were right about David Johnson, and that there is something that is limiting him from being as good as he can be. And yet at the same time, when they're in the red zone, I think they should give him the ball more often than they are. I mean, in those three possessions where they kicked field goals, they ran the ball 8 times and ran it only 2 times. They threw the ball 8 times and ran it only 2 times.
Throwing these fades to Larry Fitzgerald are not working. Please take that play out of the playbook, Cliff, please. But I mean, I'm not ready to give up on David Johnson yet. I need to see. But I'll tell you what, we get to week 6, and if he hasn't established himself, then I'm going to want to see a lot more Chase.
All right, Diamondbacks baseball tonight at Chase Field.
The the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball, is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the Diamondbacks as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, presented by Ram Trucks, built to serve, and by Sonic. Enjoy the Car Hop Classic for a knockout price of $299. Register to win a $500 MySonic card by texting Sonic to 620-620.
Arizona Diamondbacks now 76-74 on the season. The pull of Planet 500, the gravitational pull of Planet 500 has pulled them right back in, basically. 76-74, 12 games to go. 5.5 back of the final wild card spot after one weird and disappointing weekend of baseball at home against the Cincinnati Reds.
You know that Where Have You Gone, Joe DiMaggio song?
Yes.
It's Where Has the Offense Gone in September. My God, they are not scoring any runs. I mean, this is the second straight year they've had this skid in September. I was looking at some notes, I think, on The Athletic. They've scored just 3 runs a game this month. Yeah. 14 runs total in their past 9 games.
Left
they have 14 runs in their last 9 games.
It's left and gone away. That's what it's done.
Yeah.
It's left.
Have you gone, Joe DiMaggio?
They won a game on Saturday night. The only one they won against the Reds. They won a game where they had one base runner the whole game.
It's impossible.
It is. You know what? It's happened twice since 1900. It's happened twice since 1900 that a team could win a game with only one base runner. Nick Ahmed with a leadoff triple in the third, scored on a sac fly. That was it. He was the only base runner they had the whole game on Saturday.
How the hell did we just lose a game when they had one base runner?
Yeah, if you're the Reds, you must be pissed about that. Time for your pitching matchup for tonight's game, brought to you by the Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to Berg Simpson. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's BURGSimpson.com. The Miami Marlins in town. Robbie Ray gets the start, 12-8 with a 4.30 ERA against Pablo Lopez, 5-8, 4.97 ERA.
Yeah, he's one of the rookie pitchers for the Miami Dolphins. They're very high on him, and I think he could be a good part of their future. But Robbie Ray's coming off that really tough outing. The Marlins are not playing good baseball at all. They got 52 wins on the year. They've lost 6 out of 7. Since July 30th, they're just 11-34. So not a very good baseball team that the Diamondbacks are going up against. But Robbie Ray coming off of that tough outing where he got shelled in that first inning. The blister broke open and he had to be removed.
Your story, Lovello, pregame today about Ray's finger.
I've been asking him every single day. I've gotten to look at it myself every single day, and he said that it feels great and it looks great. It's just maybe a little bit red where the new skin is developed, but it seems like it's very tough and calloused and in the right place. So I think he's going to be in a good spot with his finger today.
The injury report brought to you by The Joint Chiropractic. Improve your quality of life with routine, affordable chiropractic care. Find one of over 30 locations by visiting thejoint.com today. Here's the update on Luke Weaver.
He's going to probably throw a bullpen tomorrow, and we'll figure out what the next steps are. We have a lot of decisions to make here as far as what we do and what we're doing in this race and still being a part of the chase, but we certainly want to get Luke on the mound. We know that's a very high priority for us before the season ends, and we feel strongly that we're going to find the right time and the right situation, but we haven't yet developed exactly what that will be.
And finally, the keys to the game presented by Chapman Ram. Take advantage of Ram's Bigger Things sales event going on now. Chapman Ram off the 101 and Indian School Road in Scottsdale.
No, there's no chance. There's no question that the offense has to wake up. But Lopez has made 19 starts this year, and he's done really well at home, but he's done really poor on the road. He's 2-5 with an ERA of 7.71 on the road. His home ERA is 3.22. So this is a guy, be patient, work out some walks. He worked like 4 guys in his last start, and just try to get the offense going against the guy who has really had a lot of struggles pitching on the road.
5.5 out of the final wild card spot, 12 games to go, D-backs Marlins tonight. We are out of here. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a good night, everyone.